Elizabeth Elliot says, "I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Which are you? Which am I?" Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Yesterday, I spoke about the vocation of motherhood. I want to emphasize that motherhood is a calling from God, a calling than which there is no higher for a woman. Think of Mary, who was willing to be somebody's mother and to be known as somebody's mother for the rest of human history. She was willing to give up her right to herself. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Let her be our example. I have a letter from an unusual woman. She says, "I stay at home not only by choice, but by grit, determination, and sacrifice so that I may teach my children and be an example for them. I find it to be the most difficult and most rewarding job I have ever tackled." Now, that's an interesting statement in view of the list that you're going to hear of the jobs that this lady had tackled. "Motherhood is the most difficult and the most rewarding job I have ever tackled," she says. "I feel I can make that statement, as I have been a nurse, a firefighter, a longshoreman, a farm worker, and sewage maintenance worker. I was not a feminist. Rather, I was single until I was 29. I loved hard work and non-traditional jobs, and was determined to do everything I thought I would ever want to try while I was able to. But when I married and had my first child, I wanted to be a full-time mother, and was completely unaware of the self-sacrifice that went along with the territory. The Lord has taught me and molded me into a place of willing acceptance of all that mothering, homeschooling, canning, raising animals, etc., requires." This is the part where you come in. I live on your daily words of encouragement. Even though I am surrounded by a family of professing Christians, I continually encounter the feminist viewpoint, the busy, on-the-run, fill-your-day-to-the-brim outlook, and then the look of pity when I am asked if I am bored or lonely. I am never bored or lonely, and there are always areas to apply one's efforts on our rough 5 acres. Yes, I seek the Lord each day, and the icing on the cake is your voice in our home encouraging me to live a quiet life. I have mostly older women for friends, and I feel blessed to have their input and support also. May I say a word to you older women who have done your job as mothers, or perhaps you're single? There may be a mother, a younger woman, who needs your prayers, your encouragement, your cheerful phone call in the morning asking, "How are the babies? How did the laundry go today? How are you doing with your turkey in the oven?" You know, practical, simple things that you know perfectly well like the back of your hand, but a lot of younger women don't know those things. They need you. Are you available? It takes wisdom. It takes daily patience, a calm demeanor. Does that come naturally to you? Not to me, it doesn't. I've been struggling with a brand new computer, asking the Lord every other minute, "Lord, give me a quiet heart. Help me not to get upset about this. This crazy machine, it's talking back to me. I can't understand the language." Mothers are always on call, expected to have all the answers and limitless energies. Mommy can always fix it. She's supposed to do all this. It's taken for granted. Is it possible? Everyone has a wonderful plan for your life. You need a habitual sense of the presence of God. Think that Almighty God, who created the stars and keeps the seasons revolving in perfect rhythm. He's there in your kitchen, in your bathroom, in the laundry, in the grocery store. Be prepared for an arduous struggle. It's impossible without prayer or the comfort and instruction of the scriptures and fellowship in church. And it just may be that the key to your anxiety and your lack of peace is the fact that you have not made time in your schedule for the comfort and instruction of the scriptures and prayer. It is essential, ladies. No matter what you have to forego, no matter which people in the church you're going to have to say no to, no matter how crowded your schedule may be at home, if you've got 2 children or 20 children, you must somehow, by the grace of God, and He will help you, make time to read your Bible and pray. Now, God knows that you can't always be thinking of Him. You have to put your mind on what you're doing. You have to concentrate on that recipe. You have to really study those homeschool geometry lessons that you forgot so many years ago. You have to concentrate on measuring out that medicine for the sick child. Make up the menus for next Sunday, the lists for the grocery store. This means that you must concentrate for your quiet time and then learn to turn back to God throughout the day. You remember that the king asked Nehemiah a question. And the Bible says that Nehemiah prayed before he answered the question. Now, I don't suppose for a moment that Nehemiah dropped onto his knees in the king's presence and said, "Oh, Almighty God, Heavenly Father, Maker of all things, I come before you." Couldn't have been anything like that. It must have been just a few seconds, maybe 2 seconds, of lifting up his heart to the Lord and saying, "Lord, give me the answer." Try looking up to the Lord with 100 little looks of love during the day. I don't mean you're supposed to count them, of course. But just every now and then, lift up your eyes, lift up your heart. Remember that Christ is in you. He dwells in you. He gives you the gift of grace. And don't forget grace. We need it. Amazing grace. We need it every hour of every day, every minute of every hour. Learn to pray while you're peeling the carrots. While you're ironing, that's a good time to pray. Driving the car, cleaning the house, nursing the baby, or while running to the child who has just fallen, are you praying while you're running? Remind yourself that the materials of your work and play and all of your daily life are hallowed by the presence of Christ, by the presence of His infinity in the midst of your finiteness. He is unmeasurable. You and I are highly measurable, aren't we? And remember that Christ is present even in the weak and the mean and the ugly. In Matthew 25, verse 40, Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brothers, you have done it for me." And I want to remind you of the Ritu family. They're a family that has adopted, I think it was 16 children, 10 of whom are seriously handicapped. I get their prayer letters, and they're very different from many of the prayer letters we get, because you know what? They never say at the end of the letter, "If you would like to have a part in this ministry, you can send your gift to so-and-so, to such-and-such an address." You know what they say in every letter? "Please let us know how we can help you." And I look at the picture that I have of that family. Children who are twisted, blind, paralyzed. One tiny little boy who at the age of 14 weighed 28 pounds. They love these children. Why do they do it? Debbie said to me when I called her on the phone, I've never met this lady, but of course I asked her the question everyone asks, "Why do you do this?" Oh, she said, Elizabeth, there's so many children out there that nobody wants. We want them. We pray that God will give us more children, if that's what God wants us to have. Inasmuch as you've done it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me. There's no woolly sentimentality about that lady and her husband. There's no pantheism of believing that God is in every tree and in every stone. They worship a God who is infinite and transcendent. And it is because of his love that they love these children into their home. Our thoughts and desires need to be more referred to him, determined by him. We need to ask for wisdom in mind, holiness in will, and a mind and a will made one with Christ. Living in his presence, in your kitchen, in your laundry. Loving, which means to will the good of another, not allowing any hardship or sacrifice to deter us from helping them. And look for his best. Look for the Christ in the other person. Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brothers, you've done it for me.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.